You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
My name is Ben, for those who don't know me. I'm the pastor at Sun Life Church, and it gives me such joy and pleasure to again open up the Word of God with you this morning. For those joining us online, we look forward to seeing you here physically one day soon. We hope that you are blessed with the teaching of God's Word. And if you need support or care, please just email care@sunlife.org.au and someone will be in touch and to pray and encourage you. For those who are here, we are tracking through Mark's gospel, and this morning we're at Mark chapter 8 verses 1 to 13. So this is a good time to get your Bibles out, a good time to also open up the church app. Right now, if you had a chance to read this during the week, right? And by the way, show of hands, did anyone attempt to read this during the week? A few people. Great. It's the one where Jesus is feeding the 4,000. All right? And so a lot of people have come to the conclusion that maybe the author Mark, all right, made a mistake. And for some reason, he repeated the feeding of 5,000 in chapter 6. Because if you remember in chapter 6, Jesus would feed 5,000. Loaves of bread, fish, bless them. Wow, everyone's satisfied. We go to chapter 8, it's now 4,000. So some would say that, wait a minute, maybe it was such a great miracle in chapter 6 that Mark wanted to write it again. Yeah? But I want you to know that there are actually two different events. And I'll explain why, but I don't want to spend too much time. The first event, right, took place in Bethsaida, which is northeast of the Sea of Galilee. The second place, right, took place in the Decapolis, southeast. So they're two different locations. That's the reason why they're two different events. The first one was 5,000 men, if you remember. So 5,000 men, not including the women or the children, so maybe around 20,000 people being fed in chapter 6. The second event was 4,000 in total. Because the Greek word that was used in chapter 6 and chapter 8 are different. So you've got 20,000 being fed in chapter 6 and 4,000 in chapter 8. Also, we can say this, was that the first one, if you remember, how many baskets were left over? 12, right? This one in chapter 8, we have 7 baskets left over. Very different. The first one, the setting took place on one day. This one, this morning's message, took place over 3 days. Different time period. Here's another one. Jesus actually referred to the 5,000 in chapter 8. If you have your Bible, go there with me. Just quickly, Mark chapter 8, verse 18 and 19. Jesus says to the disciples, "And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of pieces did you pick up?" So Jesus was referencing the events of the 5,000. That could have taken place maybe a few weeks or a few months, we're not quite sure. But I don't want to spend too much time. I want you to know that the miracle in chapter 8, feeding 4,000, is not a repeat of what took place in chapter 6. It's not the one event that Mark wrote down twice. They're two separate events. All right. So what I want to do this morning here is, as I was studying this during the week, all right, I noticed 3 groups of people. And I want to study the 3 groups of people. And for each group, I want to give us a lesson to help us to keep following Jesus. So let me tell you the 3 groups of people. The first one, I call them the worshipful audience. The second group, I call them the forgetful apostles. And the third group, I call them the disrespectful authorities. And in each of these groups here, there is a lesson for you and I to keep following Jesus. So I'm going to pray and we'll get to work. Let me pray. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to teach and expound your word right now with clarity. Holy Spirit, will you be our great teacher? Will you teach us wonderful things so that we leave this place changed, leave this place wanting to follow Jesus even better? Would you help us right now? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, is your Bible open? Are you good to go? Okay, the worshipful audience, look in verse 1 to 3. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. Verse 3, and if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. We stop right there. The text is very clear. There is compassion from Jesus for these people. He's worried about their welfare. He wanted to feed them. The text also tells us that these people have been with Jesus for how many days? 3 days. All right? Eating nothing. The text also tells us that these people are Gentiles. And I'll show you why they're Gentiles and not Jews. The very beginning of the passage, verse 1, Mark says, in those days. You notice that? And that is a reference to the previous chapter. In chapter 7, if you remember, a few weeks ago, Jesus is healing a Syrophoenician woman with a demon-possessed daughter in chapter 7. If you remember, all right, this took place in the region of Tyre. Yeah? You can go back and read chapter 7. Tyre is actually in Gentile territory. All right? So that's the first time Jesus moves outside the Holy Land and he's now in Gentile territory and he's ministering to the Gentiles. Towards the end of chapter 7, Jesus makes his way down to the Decapolis. Remember? Deca meaning 10, polis meaning city, the great 10 cities, right? Now, in the Decapolis, he heals, remember, a deaf and mute man. Yeah? Yeah? And the Decapolis, again, is in Gentile territory. So at the beginning of chapter 8, when Mark says in those days, he was referring to Jesus in the Gentile region. And right now, the audience are Gentile audience. The 5,000 were Jewish audience. The 4,000, Gentiles. And the Bible says very clearly that these people have been with Jesus for how many days? 3 days. They're far from home. They had nothing to eat. And Jesus is worried that if he sends them away without any food, they would faint. Is that right? He's worried for their welfare. And what I love about the text here is clearly it says that these people, these Gentiles, they were hungry for the presence of Jesus. They want to be with Jesus. I mean, they would forego eating for 3 days so that they would be with Jesus. I mean, I remember back in the day when Tran and I, when we were still, you know, and we are still madly in love today, but when we were dating, all right? And this is 25 years ago. And we would speak on the phone every night for hours upon hours, all right? Who remembers the Optus Yes Time promotion where you could speak for 20 minutes for free, right? And then you got to hang up and you got to call that number again and then join another 20 minutes for free. And you do that 3 times, that's 1 hour. How good was that? And we would just speak to each other on the phone and we didn't care about the beauty sleep. We didn't care about waking up early to go to uni the next day. We didn't care about the warning of radiation from the mobile phone. We didn't. We just wanted to be with each other. And we long to hang out and chat. And the precious time speaking to Tran was more precious than the hours of sleep. You know? And what I see here is that the Gentiles, they wanted to be with Jesus. There was a spiritual hunger for the things of Jesus, and that was greater than their physical hunger. Jesus was their top priority. You understand that, right? And when someone or something, listen carefully, is your top priority, top of your list, and you want to give that person or that object your time, you know what that's called? That's called worship. Because worship is not singing. That's one form of worship. Worship is when something or someone is worth so much. It is our highest worth, our greatest source of significance, and we want to offer that person or that object their worth. That's worship. And what I see here was that the people wanted Jesus more, greater than what they wanted for themselves. Jesus was their top priority. That was worship. Job writes this in Job 23:12. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Job is saying, God's word, the things that came out of God's mouth, is more precious than my daily need. That's worship. And the Gentile in Mark 8, they left the comfy of their homes. They didn't care about food prep for 3 days. They didn't care about eating for 3 days because they did not want anything to steal their time with Jesus. Because Jesus was far more important than anything else. And when Jesus is more important than anything else, he becomes the top of your list, and that's when you worship him. And that's what worship's all about. And what I see here are the worshipful audience. And Sun Life Church, we ought to see Jesus just like that. That we don't want anything to rob our time with Jesus. We don't want anything to be in the way with our time with Jesus. That Jesus is far greater than our physical desires. Many years ago, I met a tribal pastor up in the highlands of Vietnam. There's a picture of him right here. He's got my original OG Sun Life hoodie. I gave it to him. And this is probably 5-6 years ago, when I was 21 there, very young looking then. That's his church. That's his church there. And you probably can't see it, but clay flooring, just some open windows. No electricity, yeah? Plastic stools that they would use to sit while the preacher is preaching, all right? No fan, of course, because there's no electricity, no aircon, no lighting system, no hazer, no smoke machine, right? But when they came, they worshiped Jesus. They didn't let their situation or their environment rob them from pursuing the presence of God. And when I saw these people worship, I'm like, wow, that's what I want to do. That's the type of worship I want to have for my Jesus. And I say to you, Sun Life Church, don't let anything rob you from worshiping Jesus. Right now, maybe right now for some of us, you know, we used to get up early in the morning to worship Jesus, and we're finding really, really hard because it's winter and it's cold and it's dark, right? Don't let the comfy of your bed or your doona rob you from that time with Jesus in the morning. Maybe for some of us, reading the Word of God, you know, we find that sometimes reading the Word of God is just so hard and we're getting nothing and it's meaningless. Don't let that frustration rob you from still being in the Word of God, because He's worth it. Keep pursuing Him. You know, for some of us, getting kids to church, right? Getting your kids and your family to church, right, is harder than moving mountains, right? It's so hard. Don't let that stop you, right? Rob you. Steal your time with God here at Sun Life Church. Don't let it. Don't let anything get in the way. And what we see right here is that these people, they didn't let their physical desires steal their precious moment with Jesus. 3 days just listening to Jesus, following Jesus into the wilderness, because the Bible says they're in this desolate area because they wanted to hear from Jesus, worship Jesus, receive from Jesus. And Sun Life Church, that's my prayer to you as your pastor. That we are also like the worshipful audience. That we are like the Gentiles who says, I don't want to let anything get in the way of me pursuing Christ. Will you do that with me? Will you reassess what's been in the way? What's hindering you from pursuing the things of Jesus? If there is something, come on, resist it. Put Jesus at the top of your list. He's worth it. Amen? That's the first thing we see right there. And then we move to the forgetful apostles. Wow. Look in verse 4. And his disciples answered him, that's Jesus, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? Now, what really puzzled me during the week when I was studying this is I realized the feeding of 4,000, the events of 4,000, is very similar, which took place in chapter 6. Now, that would have been maybe a few weeks, a few months ago. And the disciples, I would have thought, the disciples, if they were really good disciples, right, they would have said to the people, hey guys, don't worry. We have Jesus. Jesus is here. This is our Jesus, the one who a few months ago fed 20,000 people. Yeah? This was our Jesus who looked around and found some loaves of bread and fish, and he blessed it, and he got everyone to sit down in 50s and 100s, and then he fed everyone, and everyone, they were satisfied, and we had 12 baskets full. Don't worry, people. It's okay. Jesus is here. He will feed you. He will take care of you because he did it in the past. We didn't get that. Well, what did we get? How can one feed these people with bread here in the desolate place? In other words, Jesus, we're in the middle of nowhere. How can we feed them? How forgetful are these apostles? And I think, wait a minute, that seems to be a theme in the Bible. The faithfulness of God and the forgetfulness of God's people. Because I look at the Old Testament, right? Remember in the Old Testament, it was God who allowed them to escape Egypt and parted the Red Sea. God who allowed them to receive food from the sky, manna, yeah? God who split the rocks and water came out and they had fresh water to drink. God who led them by day and by night. And so many times in the Old Testament, the people of God were complaining and saying, God, why won't you help us? Where's the provision, etc., etc., etc.? You read the Old Testament, and for some reason, you see that God's people, they kept forgetting that God has done the miracle in the past, and they kept complaining of the present situation. And then I think, wait a minute, that's the same with me. Not only in the Old Testament, not only in the New Testament, but also today. I look at my life, and I realize, wait a minute, how many times have I forgotten what God has done in the past? And so when I look at a present situation and I forget that the same situation that God helped me and delivered me in the past, for some reason, the same situation today has gotten the better of me. And I forget that what God has done in the past, God can also do today. And for some reason, I get so worried. I get a bit flustered. And I forget what he has done in the past. And I too am a forgetful disciple. But what I see in the text here, what I love about the text here, is I love how Jesus dealt with his disciples. Go with me to verse 5 onwards. And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? Oh, they say 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them, and he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. Verse 7. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said to these, all should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And verse 9. And there were about 4,000 people. And he, that's Jesus, sent them away. You notice how Jesus was very calm. He didn't get upset with the disciples. He did the same thing. What did he do? He says, how many bread? How many fish? All right, great. He blessed them. He got the people to sit down. He handed the bread and the fish to the disciples. The disciples went and distributed. Everyone ate. Everyone satisfied. And then the Bible tells us that they were left over. Do you notice that? Jesus did the same thing to teach the same lesson that he's the same God who's still in control. There's a saying that repetition is the mother of learning. The more you perform a task, whether it's solving a maths problem, public speaking, operating on a patient, learning a new musical piece, the more you repeat it, the more you learn it. They say Michael Jordan, he would train 6 hours a day, 7 days a week. Michael Jordan will shoot at least 500 shots every session. The more you do something, the more you realize that, yeah, yep, I learn it. And what I see in the text here is that God always repeats his kindness. And it's God's way of teaching us the same lesson, that he is still in control. I think sometimes we forget what God has done in the past, and when the same situation appears today, we kind of panic. But God doesn't get upset. He doesn't get frustrated. He doesn't pull out his hair. He graciously and kindly repeats the same miracle again. He does it over and over again to teach us the same lesson, that he's got this, that he's in control, that you don't have to worry. You know, there was a time 10 years ago when Sun Life Church was very, very early, very young, and there was one month in that particular year where all the bills came in. And I've told this story before, and the sum total of that bill was around $3,000. And Tran and I, because, you know, we were planning this church here, financially it was a bit tough. We did not have the $3,000. A few days later, a lady called us and said, "Look, Pastor, we want to see you this afternoon. God wants to bless you. God told me to bless you." And she gave us an envelope. And long story short, when she left, we opened up the envelope. And inside the envelope, we find $3,000, which paid all those bills. Last year, remember last year, we had our building fund. And of course, this beautiful building here, there's still a huge debt here. And I was questioning God. I said, God, how am I going to get the amount to pay for this building, etc., etc.?" And someone here, which I still don't know who, graciously blessed the church with $100,000. If you remember when I was in Queensland and I had to get back to the state when Mr. McGowan opened the border and we had to fly back, the first flight back, so the kids can start school in term one, we had to cut and exit our lease contract and pay for the cleaners and everything. And the sum total that cost us out of pocket was $1,500 just to get back. What I did not know was that a month or so before that, someone at church said to Simon, "Simon, I want to bless Pastor Bin with this amount of money. Can you transfer this into his bank account when he gets back to Perth?" And that amount was $1,500. You know, so when I look back at all the things God has done, I go, wow, that's amazing. But can I be honest with you? In all those moments, whether it was the bills or 3,000 or being stuck in Queensland or the financial situation here, I did stress. I did get worried. You know, I forgot what God has done in the past. But God is so gracious and kind that he still does the same thing over and over again to teach me the same lesson, that he's in control and he's got this. And I think right now, for some of us right now, I'm going to speak to some of us right now, there's something that's bothering you, something that's really frustrating you. Maybe you are just really hoping for something and that's really gotten the better of you. I want you to take time and slow down and remember, has God gotten you out of that situation in the past? Like the same situation that you're in today, 5 years, 10 years ago, were you in the same situation and God got you out? If he did, he's the same God and he'll get you out today. But don't let that worry you too much. Don't be anxious. Turn to him, run to him, and say to him, "God, I remembered many years ago, the same event, you got me out of that. You delivered. And I'm so sorry that today I'm getting so, you know, frustrated and I'm getting a bit, I know, anxious and worried. I'm so sorry. I'm going to trust you and I know you'll get me out of it today." Don't be forgetful. Don't forget what he has done in the past, because God hasn't changed. Amen? And so I want you to keep that in mind, Sun Life Church. God is still in control. And that's what he does to the disciples. They totally forgot who he was and they began to complain, "How are we going to feed these people?" And Jesus just calmly, graciously, kindly, how many loaves, how many fish? Blessed, fed people. The same sequence of action to teach the same message, that he is the same God. He's still in control. Amen? And that's for some of us this morning here. And lastly, we have the disrespectful authorities. And I want you to listen carefully, because this is actually a very tough part of Scripture. Listen carefully. In verse 10 and 11, "And immediately," he, that's Jesus, He got into the... Siri, stop it. Leave me alone. He got in the boat with his disciples and he went to the district of Dharmathuna, all right? The Pharisees, there we go, the Pharisees, they came and they began to argue with Jesus, with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. This is very, very sad. Listen carefully. The context here. Jesus gets on the boat. He goes to Dharmathuna, and he is now confronted by these authorities, these Pharisees. And these Pharisees are questioning, you know, where did Jesus get his power from? And what does the Bible say? They want to see a sign from heaven. Come on. It's not like they haven't seen a sign. Like, they have been following Jesus all this time. They've watched Jesus from afar. They've seen the miracles of Jesus. In fact, Jesus performed some of the miracles in the synagogue. If you remember back in chapter 3, right? In chapter 3, they were claiming that Jesus had his power from who? Satan. In chapter 3, they were saying that Jesus got all his power from the devil. Right? And right here, they want a sign? Come on, get real. They didn't want a sign. There were plenty of signs. Their hearts were hardened to the works of Jesus. They didn't want to accept Jesus. And here's the most saddest thing about the text. Here we go, the last two verses. And he, that's Jesus, sighed deeply in his spirit. And he said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them. He got into the boat again and he went to the other side. And we stop right there. The text says that Jesus sighed deeply. The Greek word there is that he groaned in his spirit. Anasenazo. The only time we see this word in the New Testament. This is the only time we see this word. It's a word where Jesus is at rock bottom. He's at his limits. He cannot go any further. You must never forget, listen carefully, Jesus is 100% God. We know that. But he's also 100% man. So at the point here, he's at rock bottom. He goes, I cannot believe this group of people. How many signs do they need? He's at the very limit. And he goes, I cannot go any further. I'm not going to give you another sign. Enough is enough. And the text tells us, he decides to leave them. He turns his back away from them. He hops on his boat and he heads to the other side. Friends, listen carefully. Everyone, listen carefully. We must never assume that the patience of God is endless. Listen carefully. I totally agree that God is patient. I totally believe that God wants us to change and God forgives and God is slow to anger and he's merciful. I totally get that. But the patience of God, it is lengthy, but it's not endless. Listen carefully. God's patience for you and for me has an agenda so that we change. Do you understand that? God is patient with us so that we repent. Paul says that in Romans 2. Go there with me. Verse 4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to what? Repentance. That's why in the Old Testament, right, God would send his prophets down to tell the people to change. If God's patience is endless, then why would he send prophets down? Do you understand that, right? If God's patience is endless, why would he tell the people of God to stop doing what they're doing and change? If you know your Bible, in Romans 1, the people did not want to change and God gave them over to their sinful desires. Romans 1, read that. 22 onwards. God says, you don't want to change? I'm giving you time to change. No, we don't want to change. We want to live like this. Sexual immorality, we love it. Yoo-hoo! God goes, you want that? You can have it. Romans 6, Paul says what? He says that his love and his grace is not a means for us to keep sinning. We cannot take it for granted. We have to change. The patience of God, it is lengthy, but it's not endless. And we see that in the text. These Pharisees, they didn't want Jesus. They didn't want the thing of Jesus. They're questioning Jesus. Give us another sign. Give us another sign. And Jesus, I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm going to turn my back for you and I'm going to the other side. Listen, church, for some of you, that sin that you keep doing, stop it. Ah, but God's grace, God's kind, God is patient. I'll change next week. And next week becomes next month. And next month becomes next year and next decade. And you never change. Change, for goodness sakes. He wants you to repent and He wants you to change. For some of us, you're far from God. And you're coming here, and I'm so glad that you're here. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And you're like, yeah, I'll accept Jesus next week. I'll accept Jesus next month. Next year. Next decade. You may miss out. Because His patience is not endless. He loves you and He wants you. But don't say, yeah, I'll make that decision down the track. Because it may be too late, because Jesus might turn His back and go to the other side. That's why I said this is such a tough and sad part of Scripture. If only these Pharisees said, we see you. We know who you are. We saw the feeding of 5,000. We saw the feeding of 4,000. You are the Messiah. You are the one that we've been waiting for. We want to follow you. But they didn't. They kept saying, give us another sign. Give us one more. One more. One more. Friends, don't do that to Jesus. He loves you. He wants you to return to Him. He wants you to change. Don't say to Him, one more. Give me one more. No. He's given you everything. God's given you His Son. And He just wants you to come to know Him through His Son. Don't wait for next week. Don't wait for next month. Don't wait for next year. Don't wait for next decade. Change today. For some of us, whether it's a sin, stop it today. For some of us, it's to return home to God. Return home today. For some of us, it's to forgive someone. Forgive them today. Don't assume that God's patience is endless, because it's not. And I want you to know that. Romans says, remember, God's forbearance, God's kindness, and God's patience is intended to lead you and I to repentance. That's change. To say, no, I don't want to live my old way. I want to live my new way. I'll say this, and I'll finish on this note here. For those who've given up their lives to follow Jesus, His grace covers everything. But please don't take that grace for granted. It's not cheap. It's costly, because it costs His Son. Live out of that grace and change. Repent. For those who don't know Jesus, thanks for coming. I want you to keep coming, because Jesus really loves you. And He wants you today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Amen. So those three audience, the worshipful audience, sorry, three groups of people, the worshipful audience, may we also be like them, that nothing is going to rob us or steal us in the presence of Jesus. Amen. The forgetful apostles, we are forgetful. But praise God that He is kind and He still does the same thing to help us remember that He's the same God. And lastly, wow, may we never be like these disrespectful authorities whose hearts have been hardened and Jesus has turned away from them. Let me pray for you. Father God, we thank You so much for Your word. Thank You so much for Your living word, and it's so wonderful, so encouraging, but yet so convicting and so, yeah, so true to where we're at. God, help us. For any one of us here this morning where we feel that, yeah, we need more of You, I pray, God, that, yeah, You would just come into that space and just feel them, help them to trust You. Dear God, we thank You so much that You love us. And Jesus, You are worth it. You're at the top of the list. and we want to worship you. Help us, Lord, to place you at the top of that priority list. May nothing take your place. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who right now they're in a season of anxiety, they're worried. I pray that they would slow down and remember what you have done in the past and how you've delivered them. And out of that, there is just liberation. There's freedom. Just to trust you, to know that you've got this. And God, I also pray for anyone here who needs to repent, need to confess their sins, need to come to you.
I didn't get that.
I pray that you would just really, bless them, help them come to you. Maybe I just feel right now, I just want to ask this question here. Anyone who wants to receive the Lord with all eyes closed. Maybe you've been coming for some time now. And you don't know Jesus yet. But this morning you say, I'm not going to wait. I don't want to wait for next week, for next Sunday. I want Jesus in my life today. If that is you, I want to pray for you because Jesus welcomes you with open arms. Jesus really loves your life. So with all eyes closed, and I want to know who I'm praying for. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to get you to come forward. I'm just going to know who I'm praying for. If that is you this morning, like you've been coming along here for some time now, but you really have not followed Jesus, have really accepted him into your life, and yet this is the day that you want to follow him and give your life to him. If that is you, can you raise your hands? Because I want to know who I'm praying for. Is there anyone here this morning who said, Pastor, pray for me. I want Jesus in my life. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a Christian today. I don't want to wait for next week. I don't want to wait for next month. This is the day. If that is you, can you raise your hands right now so I know who I'm praying for? Anyone here this morning? Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else who says, maybe the faith that you've had is your parents' faith. But this day you say, this is going to be my faith. I'm going to own this. My decision to follow Jesus. Anyone else? Lord, I pray for that young man, beautiful man, who, I really know that he's made the decision to follow you, that you allow him to keep following you and keep trusting you. That every day, you're conforming him into the likeness of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bless him in this amazing journey of discipleship to keep following Jesus? But I also pray for every one of us, God, that we will take a step closer to the cross every time we are in your word, every time we worship you, every time we study the text, we're taking a step closer to be like Jesus. Would you help us? Oh, we thank you for this morning. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, why don't you be upstanding with me? Why don't we just close up in a time of worship? Why don't we sing to our Lord? Why don't we declare that he is our great risen Jesus? Let's do that.